Hello and welcome back to the Sunday Plodcast. I'm Ollie Lum and as always I'm joined by my co-host Matt Seddon. This week's guest is Patrick Deaver. Paddy's based at Tulsa University in the US at the moment and he's got PBs of 13:28 in the 5K and 28:28 in the 10K. He's also represented GB on numerous occasions in cross country.
Yes, welcome back. Welcome back everybody. Look, Paddy was kind enough to talk to us during his NCAA qualification process. He just qualified for the 10K the night before. Which is going to be in Eugene in 2 weeks' time, the NCAA finals, and he was due to run the 5K Saturday night. So by the time we all wake up, we'll know Paddy's result. I'm banking on him to qualify, but I don't want to jinx anything. So, but look, we hit some really good topics. You know, firstly, we break the NCAAs down. We talk about how he's preparing for a 5 and 10K double. We talk about life during lockdown for him. Base at an American college, what training was like. Interestingly, he didn't race for a whole 12-month period and just got some really consistent training, and this seems to be a theme with many running well now. We go on to talk about the British champs as well. We cover that. His plans to do the 5K confirmed. The World Cross in Aarhus, being the first Brit home there. And his plans post-college. All stuff you want to hear. He's a 13:28 5K man, as Ollie said. And a cracking runner, if not Tokyo, defo one for Paris. So listen out, enjoy, have a good run, guys. Catch you next week.
Paddy, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for coming on in between some regional races. You qualified in the 10K last night, so congrats on that. 5K tomorrow?
5K tomorrow. So should be good. Pretty excited for that one. Hopefully,
yeah.
Just get the job done, and then all eyes towards nationals.
Yeah, that's it. Do you mind just explaining to our listeners kind of what the process of qualifying for NCAA nationals is in terms of your regional meet this weekend?
Yeah. So to qualify for the regional meet in the first place, you have to run like one of the top 48 marks in either the West or the East region. So Tulsa, we're in the West region. So you run the mark typically during the regular season, and then once you're at the regional meet. So for the 10K, it's pretty much just it is the top 12 guys across the line, and then. In the 5K tomorrow, I believe it's two heats of 24, and then the first five in each heat qualifiers. So, yeah, 12 advance in both races. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. How you finding out there? Anyway, like how you finding the racing? Because I know these regional meets, and I guess the conference before, they get quite competitive, and it's very different to racing, especially like university scene over here in the UK.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, it's so competitive. Like, I remember the first time I arrived in Tulsa, I ran my like first big meet. It was at the Noti Comb Invite at Wisconsin, and everyone was telling me how important it was to kind of get off the line, because they were like, there's just going to be like there will be a lot of bodies around you. And I was just used to like cross country races at home or whatever, where it's a bit more like spread out and there's a bit more space, and I was like, oh, it'll be fine. And I just didn't get out well at all, and it was like I think I was in like 100, like lower down than 100 at the first split, and I just like kind of panicked. So I think ever since then I've kind of just realized how much of a step up like the NCAA is compared to competing at home. But I feel like I've been here for like 2 years now, and obviously with the whole COVID shutdown, I haven't had as many races as like I would have done otherwise, but it was a like pretty steep learning curve, but you want to race the best if you want to get the best out of yourself, for sure.
Mate, Paddy, let's touch upon the races a little bit, because we're out in America, obviously being at a college as well, you pretty much had a full year of no races in you. It was like February to February of just no competition, but it seems to have worked out pretty well for you, because you know you've really progressed into 5K. You may have been due that anyway, and it just wasn't on paper. But do you think that's helped in your progression at all? That sort of uninterrupted year, if you were injury free, I take it.
Oh yeah. I haven't had anything major in the past year. I was really fortunate. So I had like a friend in Colorado. So the moment the season got shut down, last year. I went to stay with her and her family. Like, shout out to Reagan. But yeah, they were great. And so I spent pretty much the whole summer there. Like, we came back to Tulsa and then just for like a short period of time. But like that period was great for me because I was like, there's no races. I mean, I may as well just like start hitting the big miles, just start logging some workouts and like being at altitude as well. Like, I mean, it's so easy when you're up there because all the runs are just so nice. It's like, why would you not go out for like a longish run? Because I mean, yeah, it's just some like nice to do, like really enjoyable and stuff. So I mean, that period was like really good for me, I'd say, because I felt like kind of got used to, I was like kind of cycling through like 90, 95, 100 mile weeks and just not training like super intense or anything, but just like really building like a good base that I feel has allowed me to push on. And when races did eventually resume, and there was never, I was never going to stop like training in the races, because I mean, we always said like they're gonna roll around before you know it again. It's like, if you're not ready, like, I just always wanted to be able to just get right back in there when they started up again, and I feel like I've been able to do that. So,
mate, totally. It seems like a theme with anyone who's sort of running well now. They took that year wisely, and like you said, they just trained just below that sort of threshold and was just so consistent with the work.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, it would have been stupid to like really, well, maybe not stupid, but to kind of really get after it when there's no competitions nearby. So it was just a case of like, I just wanted the volume in, really, and just like the kind of tempos, and nothing like really like race specific or anything, but just like the background work. And yeah, obviously being at altitude and stuff, it was pretty nice. Like, I'd never been to altitude before then, so I feel like I responded well to it. And like, I'd actually say it kind of feels nicer training at altitude than coming back to the humidity of Tulsa. Anyway, I don't know. I know you've been up to altitude before, but I don't know how you feel about it.
Mate, I agree. I think the humidity is the hardest thing to run in.
Yeah,
that 100% humidity. Like, I don't know. You can get away with, like, when you first get there, you can get away with like a one-off run. But then I think you just get so depleted, you sweat heaps, and it's just, it really grinds you down. Like, the more you're there, the more it grinds you down. You're like, oh man, just give me some fresh air, you know?
For sure. Like, I mean, it's pretty humid out here today. So, I mean, I've been quite lucky that, and yesterday for the race and stuff. So I've been quite lucky training in Tulsa, and our conference meet was in Tampa, Florida. So, I mean, we've had some pretty good preparation for this. So I'm very glad that the national meet is in Eugene, so we should get some nicer weather there.
Yeah, you should do, fingers crossed. Yeah, it's weird because like some universities took a different approach, didn't they? They wanted to like do time trials and act like it was almost a regular season. But I take it your uni, did your coach just advise you to? Was your coach setting you all the programs all the way through the summer as well, or was it kind of off your own back a little bit?
Yeah, no. My coach was really good throughout that time. So yeah, he was setting all the workouts and stuff. So I did do a couple of kind of low key time trials. Like, I did a hard tempo altitude and stuff, and then I did like a four mile kind of time trial like on the track. But that didn't go like too great. But I wasn't really like too bothered about it. But yeah, no. Taylor, my coach, was really good for all that time. Just yeah, he was in constant like communication with us, and yeah, we got on board with everything. And
yeah, well, I think so interesting, like with yourself, like you've not only come out of that kind of almost period of non-racing and run some fast times, you're actually winning a lot of races as well.
Yeah,
and I guess that's where it's one thing getting really fit in a year, and then coming and busting out some quick times, like especially we've seen so many people run like quick 5Ks on the road and things like that. But actually coming back and being able to execute in a race, like, do you put that down to fitness, or have you sort of been prepping for that kind of race specific stuff as well?
Yeah, we have been doing like some kind of pace change workouts and like mixing up a bit in sessions to try and get ready for those like surges in races and stuff. But I definitely say coming into this season, I really wanted to focus on the racing. So yeah, like the 5K that I managed to win in Arkansas, one of the guys who was, I think the other like four, three or four guys in our like lead pack, I think they really wanted to like go for a time, whereas my focus was like purely on trying to just beat them and win the race, because one of the guys tried to like usher me to kind of take the pace a little bit, and I was like, I'm just, if it slows a little bit here, I'm happy. I just want to try and get the win more than anything. I mean, like, if I can practice racing, I mean, the times will come. And yeah, I mean, it was just basically preparing for like the championship season and just trying to get ready for the big meets, which are the ones that you really want to win. So,
It's a smart way to be, because like you were saying earlier with the whole NCAA qualification process as well. Today, I mean, I think it's brutal, because I think it's a really good system, but it's brutal at the same time. Like for you, for example, you're going to do a 10 and a 5, and then NCAA 2 weeks' time, isn't it?
Yeah,
the same thing, you know, and it's like you almost have to gauge that effort throughout the regular season, and even like yesterday, because they call it a prelim round, don't they? So yeah, it's just booking your spot basically and making sure you get to the NCAAs fresh. And I think you're at the level where you can do that, where you're holding back a little bit in the 10 last night.
Just a little bit. Like, I mean, it was never going to be easy in the heat or anything. So, I mean, we kicked him pretty hard on it, and I kind of looked around once like I knew I was safe. So yeah, just wanted to get the job done more than anything, rather than focus on like saving energy. Cause I mean, that, like, you'd really kick yourself if you were just focused on saving energy and you got run out of it or something. So
yeah, that's a good point, to be fair.
How much do you actually prepare for the double, if you like? Do your kind of sessions kind of earlier on in the season, do they reflect the timetable a bit, or is it just more of like a general getting fit to run 5K and 10K, or do you actually specifically prepare for doing it kind of a day rest in between?
So no, I wouldn't say that there was any like specific preparation at the conference meet. So I ran the 1500 and the 5K. I had the 1500 heats. I can't remember what day it was. I think it might have been it was either Thursday or Friday, and then I had a day in between, and then I had the 1500 final and the 5K final like 2 hours. I feel like that was good preparation, but with it being in such a short period of time, but and then obviously the day in between the heats and the two finals, but I wouldn't say there's any specific preparation for the day in between or anything. It was just a case of getting as fit as possible, and I mean, like, we'll have to see how I bounce back from the 10, but fingers crossed.
Yeah, for sure. Just want to like move on a bit to actually kind of discuss how you actually came about the decision of getting to Tulsa, because you were at Loughborough before. Being like a few Brits like be really successful coming through Tulsa, like Chris O'Hare, Mark Scott. Was that kind of in your mind at all, that you know like Brits have been there and done well? Did like you have a chat with these guys at all, or was it just a bit more of your own thing?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the fact that those guys had been through the program and they were continuing to like, well, they both gone on to great things, both of them. And it was just like all the, like, kind of the other Brits that I'd seen who'd gone through that program and were kind of like still running, which was what I wanted to do after I finished as well. Like, I didn't want to like stop running after college, basically, regardless of how well I was doing. So that was definitely one of the big like one of the factors pulling me towards Tulsa. I was kind of looking at schools where Brits had been, so I also like visited Iona as well, because I know they've had like a lot of success with Brits. I didn't want to speak to like too many coaches or anything. I wanted to keep it quite small. So yeah, those were the two main ones that I was looking at, really. Well, I like that it was a smaller program, because I don't know. I can't, some of those bigger programs, it kind of seems like some guys kind of get run into the ground a little bit. And I don't know, it seemed like at Tulsa, they really like cared about the development of the individual. So yeah, that's how I chose Tulsa.
Yeah. I was going to say, how come you chose Tulsa over Iona?
So it was honestly really like close between the two of them. It just seemed like a better fit at the time. And yeah, I had a great visit on both of them. And like, I think I would have fit in well in both places, but I don't know, the warmer weather was, quite enticing. Yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, I didn't have a bad word to say about Iona. They were both great. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, talk us through a little bit, the team dynamics, at Tulsa then a little bit, and the training group and the coaching style, because you really sort of went there and you hit the ground running straight away. You know, you often see, I don't know if it was an age thing, obviously you were going out there after Loughborough, but a lot of people struggle in their first year. Like you say, the competition is a big step up and they're like, I was winning races and now I'm coming 50th. You know what I mean? So talk us a little bit about, you know, the setup at Tulsa and like you say, if it's quite a small, close-knit training group you're in.
Yeah, it's so the like we had like kind of there's a lot of like international guys on our team, so we all train together, but like the like throughout the cross country season there was like a group of five of us who do like all our workouts together kind of thing, and then when we get into the track season we kind of split up into event specific groups, and we do our like specific sessions, and our coach is Taylor Gully, so he looks after all the boys, and then the head coach Steve, he looks after the girls, so mm-hmm.
Is it similar to what you were doing back home as well?
That was kind of like a big change, I'd say, coming over, because like at home I was definitely used to like smaller volume workouts and stuff, so I'd never done more than like six by a mile on the track or something like that, and then like it was like the consistency of the big volume workouts at Tulsa. I think in my first semester, I think it definitely did take me a while to get used to that. Like I was able to do the workouts, but I was just feeling kind of like a little bit flat for the races, I would say. Like I had a good like first cross country season, but my first indoor season wasn't too great. Like I didn't really run as well as I wanted to there. But yeah, another big change was like I started doing a lot more of my runs in like singles. So I'd do like a 12-mile run on a recovery day, as opposed to when I was in Loughborough, I'd probably do, I don't know, maybe like 2 6-mile runs or, I definitely think that's helped in the long run. I think it just kind of took me a little bit of time to adjust to it a little bit. Also, another change was like, I don't really like, especially in the build-up for cross country, like we do a lot of like 400 repeats at Loughborough, like off short recovery, but the reps are a bit longer, I'd say, at Tulsa. But it definitely gets you strong. I mean, like it was pretty tough to begin with, but once you kind of get used to it and your body kind of adapts, it definitely seemed to be working for me at the moment.
Yes. Yeah. Paying off.
Yeah.
For sure. Let's just talk about cross country a bit more, because you kind of had success there, like on the UK domestic scene as well. How important do you think that is for like what you're seeing on the track now? It's not that you've like been like had poor track performances at all. Like you've like run really well on the track as well. But I guess you're probably in the past you're like making teams on the cross, like GB juniors wise, and seniors. Like, so how do you think that's kind of translated now to probably stepping up a bit, I guess, and matching those track times to cross performances in recent months, I guess?
I definitely think that cross is really useful for me anyway. Like, and I, obviously, yeah, like you pointed out, I think that's where I've had the most success, like with making teams and stuff. And I think with the track performances, I think it was always kind of there. I'd had like a pretty good progression up until 2017, and then I kind of got injured, and I ended up missing like two. I missed one track season because I got a stress fracture pretty early on in the year, like during the cross country season. So that I could have maybe run at the end of the season, but it was kind of a bit late. And then the following season, I was going really well, like after World Cross, and I think I would have run some pretty good track times then. But I just kept picking up like little niggly injuries, and obviously with moving out to the US and stuff, I didn't want to keep the season going too long, so just kind of missed another season there, just to get ready for cross country in the fall in Tulsa. So yeah, I think obviously I have had more success on cross country, but I feel like the big track jump that I kind of had was kind of down to not really racing as much on the track recently, more than anything. And that's ultimately that's where I want to be over the next few years, like competitive on the track. Like as much as I love cross country, like I'd say track is the main focus.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because me and Lam were talking as well about, you know, before the podcast, and we were just saying, mate, this guy come like 30th in the World Cross, you know. You're not telling me he was a 13:55 guy when he did that, you know. So I think you were obviously, like you said, you just hadn't put it on paper yet, but it's good to see that it is transitioning.
Yeah.
And you are stamping on the track a little bit now.
Yeah, for sure. No, the big jump, it I'd be lying if it said it didn't like surprise me, but I knew there was a decent time in there if I just got in the right race with the right conditions and stuff. So
yeah, no, I think it's interesting how you reflect upon it, because I think realistically no one actually does jump. Like your PB might jump, but you haven't, it's not like you've just jumped to that fitness overnight, and it's always years in the making. It's just maybe power of 10 doesn't always reflect what people are actually doing. And I think people kind of read a bit too much into it sometimes. They're like, oh, he's made a jump, so he must have done something last week. Yeah, let's talk about that World Cross race though, because obviously it was like extremely impressive performance. Like you're still like pretty young guy, of course. How was that that World Cross?
Aarhus.
Yeah.
That was a brilliant event.
Put the name for me.
Yeah, that was a brilliant event. The host did a great job organizing that. With the course was honestly one of the most ridiculous things I think I've seen. Like one part was you actually ran over like a museum roof, and they had like a beer tent, and all the spectators were in a pretty good mood, and the atmosphere was really good. So yeah, that event was it was pretty like really enjoyable. I felt like I ran it like to the best way for me, which is definitely sitting back a little bit at the start and trying to come through the field, because the course I think was gonna kind of wear on people who went out a little bit too hard. So yeah, in the past that's how I've typically raced my best cross country races, like kind of come through the field a little bit. But yeah, it was like a brilliant event, and hopefully can make a few more world cross teams in the future. Definitely try and improve on that position. Yeah,
it's an incredible event. If no one's seen it yet, go on YouTube, 2019 World Cross. It's just like the course is amazing, and I think the World Cross is just so good for the sport as well, and like you say, it's good for your development. I think it's really good for like Europeans as well to just match up against the Africans once a year, because on the track, you, unless you're getting in diamond leagues, you don't really, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it just brings you on, like you say. You then went to the NCAAs, you weren't out your depth at all. You know what I mean? And you got 11th in your first NCAAs, you'd been to bigger events, basically. You know?
Yeah.
But
it definitely felt a bit more like what's the word? Like it didn't feel as daunting at the NCAAs yeah. after being at an event like the World Cross and stuff. Obviously, run against some of those guys, albeit like quite a bit behind. But yeah, it's I think that really like helped me to see that I can compete against like some of these top guys and top Europeans. But yeah, no, I definitely like anyone who wasn't sure whether they wanted to try and go for it, I'd definitely say go for it, because it is like a once in a lifetime experience. And getting to race against some of those guys like Cheptegei and I think Kip Lima might have been in the gym.
I think he got one too.
Which was really impressive. And yeah, to see like when you watch the race back and see those guys like running up the hills like they're on the fly, it's just pretty special to watch. And I mean, yeah, no, it was super, like, really great.
I think we had Mick Woods on, and we were talking about, you know, do you reckon a Brit could ever like match the Africans at some point? And I would love to see it. Like, I would love, you know how like you get these Ineos teams like sponsoring, you know, cyclists, like, it just to do that for like a few Brits to attack a World Cross and just put the Africans away. I might just be like rambling here, but I would just love to see it. They've just dominated for so long, you know what I mean?
We had like a good team result. Like, we managed to beat the US, which was pretty huge for us. But I think the top six teams were all pretty much they're all pretty much clear. So, and then there was like a bit of a gap to kind of the others. So I mean, yeah, like if we can like work on closing that gap over the next few years, I mean, our guys are doing it over middle distance at the moment. Yeah. Like, so there's no reason why over the longer distances people can't like close these gaps. So yeah, for sure.
I mean, the 5K standard is just getting nuts. I think I was looking at the amount of sub-14s. I think there's already 10 guys sub-13, 40 already. Or, you know.
Really?
Yeah, maybe more than that. And I was like, how many guys are sub-14? And it's like, almost says like 40 or 50. I was like, this is just crazy.
Yeah.
You know, whereas I swear in previous years, you know, sub-14 was a huge deal. We're across the board, middle distance, 5Ks are now. And to be fair, a lot of, 5K guys are going a little bit unnoticed out in America. Will you have like a little eye on the 10K trials next week?
Me? I'll definitely have one eye on those trials to see how those guys get on. I mean, we've selected a really strong team for that. So, I mean, it's going to be pretty exciting to watch. But I'll definitely have one eye on those trials, but. Unfortunately, I won't be able to do them. So I'll be focusing on the 5K trial when I get back in the UK. So.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, we're just about to ask you about it. Actually, like, yeah. So what's the? I guess maybe talk to the listeners a bit again about how that kind of is different for you, because it's a very different time of year to the guys based in the UK. From NCAAs, you will have had your conference, your regional, and nationals as well. So it's just a very different approach to what a lot of the guys here are. So how are you kind of thinking about that? Or is it more focused on NCAAs first and then see how you are?
Yeah, I'd say the main focus at the moment is on NCAAs. And I'm definitely like going to do the trials. Like, I have no reason like to think I won't be able to perform there. Cause I feel like, I think with the way our training's been set up and stuff, it's very much been focused on that end goal of the trials. So I'm pretty confident I'll be able to go to those trials and compete there. So but at the moment, yeah, I was just on NCAAs, and then I mean, 2 weeks later, really get after the trials and see what I can do there. Hopefully.
Yeah, good man. Is it your final year at Tulsa, or because of COVID, do you have another year?
I've just graduated. So, this will be my final year at Tulsa. Yeah. So
any plans after, mate? Will you, me and Lon were joking, you know, you could, follow Mark Scott into the Bowmans. Similar PB.
I've been talking to, an agent at the moment. And at the moment, I think it's looking like I might be staying in the US for a little bit. So, yeah.
We'll let you focus on it. We won't play too much, but it does sound exciting.
Finish the season off strong, and then hopefully.
Get
that all sorted, and but no, I think I'll be staying in the US if everything goes okay. So that's all I'll say at the moment.
Do you mind sharing what would be like a successful end to your collegiate career? I guess like what's your goals? I guess.
I'd be lying if I said I didn't want to like challenge for the top spots. Really, I think I'm in the best shape I've ever been in. So I think after being in our regional race yesterday, I think we know how the race is going to go with Wesley Kiptu kind of taking it out hard from the front. So I mean, I think I'm prepared for a pretty fast race. So I mean, yeah, I don't see why I can't be right there at the front of the race, and I've been closing out race as well. So yeah, it'd be nice to emulate Mark's achievement in 10K, but we'll see.
Yeah, you've been closing out races really well. I mean, you won your conference in 3:41. That was a championship race in 3:41. So
yeah,
you're in good stead there.
Yeah, I don't actually know what the last lap of that race was, but it felt really good, and I was able to come back and close like pretty well in the 5K as well. So yeah, just there's some pretty fast closes in the NCAA at the moment, but hopefully we'll see where I stack up in a couple of weeks.
I think it's just like you say, it's such good practice. And we actually spoke to Steph last week, and she was saying how she wishes she came to the NCAA, not the NCAA, to America just to race earlier, because it's just a different style of racing, and there's just more depth in the field sometimes as well.
Yeah, I think that definitely makes a difference. Like when you've got a bunch of guys running sub 14 or like in the 28s, it's like it's a bit easier to run the times, like as opposed to like maybe in the past in the UK when it hasn't been as deep, but like now even these quicker times, I mean, we're seeing them on UK soil. So in the future, I mean, yeah, maybe more fast times will be running in the UK and stuff. But I mean, some of the spots out in the US, like I've never actually raced in California, but I know a lot of people run pretty fast out there. And like when you've got like a nice still night with a nice temperature and stuff and a bunch of guys wanting to run quick, you can't really beat it, can you? So you don't, whereas the weather in the UK, I don't know, it's a bit more unpredictable. Like the Gateshead Diamond League last week, like it didn't look too fun for those guys. they all run well, but I mean, like you've got to think that most of them can run a lot quicker than that if they run like a nice warm evening somewhere.
This is it. You know, it's like, if you train to a level where you're like ready to go and ready to PB and the weather's like that, like you can only get in your peak performance for like 2 or 3 weeks, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was a shame, the weather, but they've got it there again in July. So fingers crossed might change.
Yeah. Fingers crossed for some better weather.
This is it, man. Yeah. We just wanted to touch upon briefly as well, like your training at Tulsa and whether the cross country, I mean, I think you already touched upon it really, how the cross country differed to the track a little bit, but you know, where you had quite a quick turnaround this year, I guess it's similar to a UK season in the fact you had a really good cross country race in March. And then you're able to, you know, come out in April and run a quick 5K. Did the training differ between the two too much, or were you kind of training always bearing in mind you had a 5K and a month or so later?
So the training during the cross season was like very kind of cross specific. Like the paces, weren't too fast or anything. Like I wouldn't say we ran at like 5K or even like 10K race pace that much. And then when we kind of made the transition, that's when we started getting the race specifics, race spin and the shorter reps. We kept the tempos in there and stuff during the track season, but the training was very much like different between the two.
You just sharpened it post cross.
Sorry, you broke up a little bit then. What did you say?
Sorry, man. No, I just said you just sharpened it up post the cross season.
Yeah, for sure. We just got after some faster stuff and some race specific work to get ready. It was quite nice with the way the season was set up because I ran the 10K cross nats and then we wanted to get the 10K regional mark ticked off like pretty soon after. So I think it was maybe like 3 weeks in between. So it didn't really have to like sharpen up too much for that one because like I was pretty fit and like it was very much just a case of like get in there, get the mark and then get back to work kind of thing.
It's kind of crazy. Like you must be in serious shape, you know, just can do a 10K cross through, go again, 10K on the track. Like it's quite impressive. And I think a lot of people don't realize, you know, how hard it is to tune up, for a peak 10K, do it.
Yeah,
5Ks as well, you know?
Yeah. It was good having the like extended like build up over the fall because I feel like that's when you can really get a lot of your training in. And then when you hit the racing season, it's kind of hard to get like cram a lot of work in then. But I feel like we've played it pretty well with the track season with not racing too much and like not being too concerned about like fast marks because like prior to conference I'd only raced twice and I mean I agree with my coach in that like I don't think you only have so many efforts in a season kind of thing, especially over the longer distances, and you can't just keep going after them and stuff. So
You kind of like you highlighted there just that work you did in the fall up before Christmas time has kind of allowed you to then transition and kind of helped you there. Do you mind just running through what you do like on a typical week in that build up? Because Tulsa is like quite renowned for doing like quite decent mileage and some long tempo. So what were you actually doing like week by week prior to Christmas?
So we'd prior to Christmas, we were actually doing like we were actually kind of gearing up for some like time trials. So everyone ran a 3K and a 5K time trial. So we were doing we were actually kind of getting after some quicker stuff over that period. Running high mileage and running tempos and stuff. But like a normal week would typically be like recovery runs on Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, and then we do a long run on Sunday, and then typically like two workouts in the week where one of them would typically be like a harder effort, so some reps on the track or like a hard tempo kind of thing, and then the other workout would typically be like a bit more of a flush out workout. So it was very much just like kind of right, like making sure we were recovered for the next really hard workout kind of thing. And then in the long run, we'd sometimes throw like a little bit of work into that, maybe like some kind of marathon pace stuff or some like line of progression kind of stuff. So I think it's pretty similar to like a lot of programs, but so that was another big change, like going from the three workouts a week back in Loughborough to like two workouts over here, and then two workouts and then a longer run sometimes mixed in with some extra work.
Yeah, man. Well, yeah, like it's great to see you've been progressing so long. You know, you've been from winning English schools as a junior or an inter, you know, and you're still at it now at the highest of your game.
Oh, I never actually won at English schools.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, winning medals is what I meant.
I got very close. I got pretty close, but never got the gold, unfortunately.
You won some medals though, but
I'm
just wondering, like, what's, you know, for other people out there, what's kept you like motivated and invested in the sport, you know, for so long? You're clearly passionate about running, but is there anything else which has just kept you, you know, after your goals, basically?
I think just like the opportunities it's kind of open for me. Like I'd never been to the US before, like coming out to Tulsa and stuff, and like kind of just like with the progression each year, it was just like kind of it's kind of good to see that things are moving in the right direction and stuff. And that's one of the things that just like continually improving on my PBs, because I really do think that running is like you have to be very patient and you just have to like focus on the long term, because like especially the longer races, like it's not going to happen overnight, and you can't just expect it to, which we probably are guilty of sometimes. But just the fact that I know that like I'm going to keep getting better if I just keep putting in the work, and it is going to take time and stuff. And yeah. And another thing that like really kept me in it was just like the people that you meet like through running it's like a lot, like most of my like best friends I've met them through running. Like some of them aren't running anymore. And, but I'm still good friends with them and stuff. And I mean, it was just like the like kind of social side of things. Like throughout my time at Loughborough, I lived with like a bunch of the guys, and had a great time with them and stuff. And then even coming to Tulsa, like just met some like really great people who run as well. So I mean, like, yeah, that's definitely one of the things. Like I don't know, all runners seem to be just on the same kind of wavelength. Like we're all equally as crazy as one another and stuff. So it's just easy to get on with someone when they know what it feels like, kind of thing. And you can just go out for a run with them, and you know you've got a common interest and stuff. So,
well, I think you're right, because it's such an individual sport. You all kind of relate to the challenges that you all face as well. But it's interesting to hear that you sound like someone who's very self-invested. You know what I mean? You're just focused on yourself, and this is probably why you've got so far and to the top, because you know, you can't be out there worrying about others.
Yeah. Yeah, it's easy to worry about what other people are doing, like especially with like Strava and stuff like that. But if you can just keep focused on yourself and just trying to get better like every day, like it kind of just adds up, and you eventually will get to a spot where you want to be. And yeah, it's a long journey, but as long as you enjoy it on the way, it's all good.
Yeah, that's it. Is there ever a spot though? I think that's the almost the problem with runners, is no one's actually ever at a spot they want to be, because you like reaching.
Oh, no, that's like, it's very true.
Oh well, the next step is this. But I think that's why everyone.
Yeah, it's kind of frustrating, because you never really like look back on what you've achieved. It's always just looking forward, like. Win a race, you're like, all right, on to the next one, kind of thing. But I suppose when we eventually like retire and stop running and stuff, that's when you finally can like look back on it and really just reflect and stuff. So
absolutely, man.
Yeah
Well, just before we finish off, what are you going to do the rest of the day, man? You got a day off between regionals, you got your 5k tomorrow.
Yeah,
what are you doing the rest of the day?
So what time is it now? It's like nearly 4:15. So we're going out for dinner later. So we have someone in the 10k tonight, so I'll be cheering her on. And and then get to bed early and get ready for the five, really. So what time am I on?
Yeah, is it too late?
I think it's the same time as the 10, but I'm not 100% sure, so I should probably check that sometime in the evening.
Yeah, I remember when my bro was in it, the east I could occasionally stay up for, because it would be like sort of midnight, 1 o'clock, but the west is it's just 3-4 in the morning. It's too late now.
No, I don't blame you.
But look, mate, no, I'm really excited to see you perform at NCAAs, because you know, I just feel like I've been watching your performances. I just feel like you got a little bit more there as well.
I appreciate that.
My man. So, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks so much for coming on. Like, I guess like a a critical time for you as well. So appreciate that, and all the best for tomorrow.
Oh no, it's been an absolute pleasure. I really enjoyed chatting to you guys, and yeah, thank you for.
Thanks for listening, guys. We hope you enjoyed the podcast as always. If you did, please could you leave us a rating and review on your preferred podcast streaming service. Shout out to all you guys who have. I've been badgering you for weeks now, so it's much appreciated. Read some nice reviews, and it does really help us out, so thank you with that. If you've got any feedback about the pod, please tweet us at Sunday Podcast or send us an email, info@sundayplodcast.com. Cheers, guys. See you next week.